And it reads Genesis 37, verse 4 and 5. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more, than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Lord Jesus. But as for you, Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. All right, we're going to talk. We just going to talk. Don't go to sleep on me. If you get sleepy, just stand up and I'll understand. But we just want to talk about I survived stronger. We're just going to hang with this thing for this today. But I survived stronger. We saw in 1 Peter 5 and 10 that God began to, that the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. The preacher preached yesterday that I have an after. So in other words, that after you've gone through some stuff, there are some things that's going to happen. There are some things that's going to take place. I want to declare and to inspire you and to enlighten you today to let you know you're going to go through some stuff, but there are some things that's coming behind after your testing and after your trial. Don't get caught in what you're going through and feel like this is it. There's no more. I've heard people say, well, this is my lot in life and this is how my life is going to be and this is just what I'm going through. And I'll be like, no, that's not it. That's not the end of the story. There's another chapter that's got to come behind this. Even in some good books, and there's a series, there's more. You know, you end it with the first one and the second one is not due out for another 6 months, and you're itching to find out what's going to happen next. That's the same thing in our life. When we begin to go through situations and tests and trials, and they look real, real bad and they're real, real hard, you've got to understand that this is not it. That's not the end of the book. That's not the end of the story. There is some more that's got to come after this, because you've got to understand that if I'm going through this, there's got to be something greater than this in my life. That because God has allowed me to endure this, he's allowed this thing to come to my door, that means he's got something better that he's getting ready to give me. You know, we used to get upset when it seemed like we would lose things and it seemed like the enemy was taking our best stuff. But I had to learn that, God, if you take that, that means you got something better for me that you're going to give. That this thing was not the best for me, even though it did for a while, but now you've got something better that you want to give me. So in order to get the better, I've got to go through the bitter. I've got to go through the hard place. I've got to go through the tough place to get what God has for me. Amen. I got any amens and you understand, and let me slow down just a little bit. So he said, we're going to go through for just a little while. I don't know how long a little while is. A little while to us is a minute. Some of us feel like 6 months is too long. And, you know, Lord, that's been a hot minute. You know, the kids say it's been a minute. Okay, well, when they say it is a minute, take that and mean, understand, sometimes your test is going to be a minute. When they say it in the terminology today, that means there's some time behind it. It's been a little while. It's going to be a minute. You're going to have to go through for a minute. But after a while, you're going to come out of what you're going through. It won't last long. It won't last always. Look at somebody and say, it won't last always. Song Timothy Wright picked it up. Trouble don't last always. I'm here to tell you, weeping may endure for a night, but the Bible says that joy comes in the morning. I decree and declare, you got to hold on till the morning time. Don't cry. Don't quit in the darkness, because there is a daylight that is coming. Woo! And it happens. You know, daylight happens so, daylight comes silently. Daylight don't come with noise. Your breakthrough don't come with noise. It comes silently. It comes just like, it changed. It's like, oh my goodness. We got that camera thing with the video that you can see and you can go back and look. And so sometimes I go back is between somewhere between about 5:30-ish, 6 o'clock, 5:20 somewhere. I go back and it'll tell you what's going on, and it'll tell you it has detected movement, motion. And so I want to go back and see who was on my porch at 5 o'clock or who was in my yard, what was going on. But I don't see nothing, Brother Mike. It took me a moment to realize what the camera was recording was a change that when it went from darkness to light. It recorded when daylight broke. I'm trying to help somebody. Daylight is being recorded. You don't see it, but daylight is happening. Okay. Ooh, so it's coming. We don't see it. There are things that God is manifesting in our life that we don't see. But tell yourself, it's happening. So he says, after you suffered a while. So we're going to stop right there. And we want to talk about Joseph, because I begin to hear the Spirit of the Lord say, talk about Joseph, because Joseph was a dreamer. And we always relate to Joseph and what Joseph went through and what happened to Joseph. But we never really talked about what it took for Joseph to maintain, and even when he got to the point where he was made governor, what happened in the middle. Right. Now understand, in the midst of tests, Peter says he's going to establish. In other words, he's going to make us firm. He's going to make us stable. He's going to strengthen. He's going to make us stronger, and he's going to settle us. He's going to put us in place. Place us so that we can stay. When you settle something, that's it. It's done. It's over with. There's no movement. There's no question about it. It's settled. We settled the issue. Let's talk about Joseph for a moment. So Joseph went through, my God, I said, Lord, as I began to really look at it, I said, bro, man, he went through. But I heard the Lord say there were three things that happened in this and that. And this is what happens. Understand, when we begin to go through, there are three things that's happening. First, there's the process. Lord, we don't like that word. We don't like process. We don't like process. But there was the process. There was the preparation. And then there was the promise. Because remember, in the beginning, Joseph had a dream. Those of you that don't know the story, in the dream, there were sheaves or sheep. Let's just make it, I think sheaves is what they call it. And there were three, there were some that were bowing down to his. Now, mind you, he was the youngest. So which meant he was to serve his brethren. But because they were bowing down in the dream, it meant that the brethren were serving him. Well, when he told them the dream, they got attitude. They the Bible says they hated him the more. Daddy had first started out and made him a coat. Many colors. I'm sure it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Real nice. All kind of fine animal fur, different colors, and it was looking good. And they got jealous. Well, why they get a coat? Why he get a coat? We ain't getting no coat. What's so special about him for him to get a coat? So they didn't like him. When he had the dream, then the Bible said they hated him even the more. My God, Joseph suffered abuse at the hands of his brethren. I'm not talking about the kind where they eat the last piece of chicken and you don't get none. Not that kind of abuse. I'm talking about the kind of abuse when they hate you, when they plot to kill you, when they plot, they throw you down in the hole and we're going to tell daddy that he's dead, or because we ain't going to kill him, but we're going to sell him off. I'm talking about that kind of hatred when your own blood sells you off. I don't think none of us in here have experienced that. And then they go home and tell daddy he dead. Look, they take his coat, put the blood of an animal on it, and say, daddy, he dead. Because they hated him. Come on, I'm talking about process. Some of you can look in your life. You have not been hated. You have not been rejected to that level. But you can look at your life and you see there are things that you have experienced in your growing up time, in your childhood, that you thought was devastating. But tell yourself, it was just the process. It's just part of the process. Okay, y'all gonna work with me here today. It's part of the process. He endured the abuse at the hands of his brothers. That's recorded, Genesis 37:4-5. But we got to understand that there are things that we're going through, my sons and daughters, that is just part of the process for where God is taking us. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, I heard the saints say, time is winding up. Time is getting short. The Lord is soon to come. I'm 57. Thank you, Jesus. Not ashamed to talk about my age. I heard it all my life as I was growing up. Time is winding up. The Lord is soon to come. Here we are 50 some odd years later, and we still waiting. But I'm here to tell you that saying is still true. Time is winding up. The Lord is soon to come. And more so now than 50 years ago. There are all kinds of things that have been released and allowed in the land that 50 years ago you didn't hear about it. 30 years ago it didn't happen. Look at the TV commercials. If nothing else, the TV commercials are 20 years ago won't like this. It's changing. And when they allow wrong to have a voice in the land that they are right and it's okay, you better believe the Lord is on his way back. I'm talking about surviving. I'm talking about surviving. Because see, if we're not careful, what we see will begin to play in our mental mind about us serving God. Come on, I need somebody to be real up in here today. Because sometimes what we see, the stuff that we see and the stuff that we hear, if we're not careful, it will begin to make us doubt. Well, Lord, you begin to listen to what other people are saying, and it sounds good. Sounds right. And if you're not careful, our flesh will begin to, flesh will begin to dissect it and make it feel good to you to the point where, that could be right. Why you say that, Evangelist? Because I've been there. I've been tried. I've been tested. I know. And so I know if I sense it, if I'm feeling it, Lord knows I know y'all getting hit. You might not really want to admit it, but you are. There comes times in our life where we begin to question even our salvation and our service unto the Lord. If you ain't just live long enough, that means you're doing good. But live long enough, it'll come a day where you will begin to question, well, Lord, is this really you? God, are you really in control? Do you see what's going on? Oh, I'm practical. Let me make it practical. I'll make you laugh off of this one. You know how in the movie when Superman, when he got beat up and he went and hid in the mountain somewhere, and the three bad guys were wrecking the whole town, and they was carrying on. All of a sudden, the people that, you know, we like Superman, but we don't know, they begin to look, where is he? Superman, if you're real, where you at? You need to come on and fix this. And some of us get like that now. We get too much stuff going on and the world is in chaos. We're looking, Lord, where are you? Lord, 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 Lord. What they say, I'm looking and looking, I'm looking, I'm looking. I'm searching, I'm searching, I'm searching. Come on, it's funny, but I'm telling you the truth. This is what happens when we get in the test. I'm trying to tell us when we start going through, we've got to make sure, let me put this plug, we've got to make sure that our relationship with God survives what we're going through. That's what's taking place. The enemy, we tell you, he don't want your house. He don't want your car. He don't want your money. He don't want your clothes. He don't even want your relationship one to another. What he wants is your relationship with God. And since he know he can't come down and have a whole conversation with you, he has to touch your stuff to get you thinking about your relationship with God. I'm in the Bible. What did Job's friend say? Man, you must have sinned. Perhaps you sinned to cause this to come on you. How many of us have sat down, we heard the preacher say, Lord, what did I do? What? You ever ask the Lord, what did I do, Lord, to cause all this chaos and confusion, all the tests and all the trials for my mind to be like this? What did I do? Where are you, God? But you got to make sure your relationship survives while you're going through. You got to survive the process. The process takes us to preparation. Joseph had to experience the preparation for where God was taking him. Isn't it interesting how in the midst of what he was going through, God was preparing him for something greater that he didn't know? Let me help you out. All of us sitting in here today, all of y'all watching, God is preparing us for something greater that we don't even know. I know it don't look like it, because the process looks like it's killing us, but really the process is killing your flesh. That's where the fight is. Your flesh don't want to give up. Your flesh don't want to give in. Your flesh is saying, no, we like this. Your flesh is saying, no, we want to do this. But God is saying, but there's some place I'm taking you. I've already have a designated place for you to be. But before you can get there, I got to pull out some stuff in you that's not like me. And in the process of pulling out, I've got to prepare you for what I got for you. Joseph didn't have no clue, no idea that he was going to end up basically what we call the governor's seat. He didn't know that. He didn't see. He didn't understand what the dream meant. He just had a dream. I believe I read he was about 17 or so, I'm thinking, when he had the dream. He was young. He didn't know where God was taking him. He didn't know what it was going to take in order for the she's that he saw bowing down to him, what it was going to take for that to happen. We see what's the good part. We see, oh yeah, they shouting and screaming and hollering, and oh yeah, they got a good marriage, and I want a marriage like this, and I want my children to act like this, and Lord, I want my children to work in ministry like the first family. I want it all. But you don't know what it takes to get that. You are not part of the process or the preparation. Song said, you weren't there when he called my name. You weren't there. It looks good. It looks fantabulous. Like, oh, they family just get along. And, oh, that husband, he just love his wife. And they just, oh, they just so good. You don't know. Her makeup is just so flawless. And she looks so good. She wearing makeup because she got to cover the bruises. She driving the Mercedes because that's a down payment on a I'm sorry because I beat you by half to death last week. Oh, come on. You don't know what you are going through. Don't feel like it's null and void. No, let me give you this nugget. In the midst of what you're going through, ask God, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in all of this? That's all. Because if you keep going through something, obviously there's a lesson that you need to learn. Why you think you get a test in the school? They teach it to you, then you get a test. Then you come back, get midterm. Then you come back, get final exam. You come back and get a cumulative exam. You're like, Lord, I learned that back in August. Here it is. Man, you talking about a cumulative exam? I don't remember that. Some stuff you need to remember. And you're trying to figure out, why do I keep going through this? Why am I on this merry-go-round? Why am I on this cycle that keeps going round and round? And I keep, you know, I do good on Monday, Tuesday, but by Thursday, Friday, I'm down in the dumps. I'm fussing people out. I'm mad. I'm angry. I don't want to talk to my children. I don't want to talk to my spouse. I don't want to be at work. I'm just right, everybody. What's going on? What is it that you're not learning? What is it that you need God to teach you? You do all right for 20 days. And day 21 to day 31, you struggle in your flesh. Oh, come on with it, somebody. Come on. And sometimes you can spot it when it's coming. What you need to do is stop and say, oh, this is coming. Okay. I'm here. I'm in it. Lord, what you trying to teach me? There's a lesson I need to learn. This is part of the preparation in the process. What is it, God, that you want me to learn? What is it that you're doing in me? I'm teaching you. I'm talking about surviving. Let me hasten on. I ain't going to keep you all day because I'm a little bit hungry already. So the preparation when Joseph got into Potiphar's house, and Potiphar, he was just a servant of high ranking in the military. He was a captain of the guard for the king, Pharaoh. But when he got there, he found favor. Now, wait a minute. Now, hold up. I was like, wait a minute. Here's this man that got kicked out of his family, sold to the Egyptians. Thank you. They took him off and dropped him off at Potiphar, and Potiphar saw that he was good. The Lord blessed him. He was honest. He was true at what he did. He brought him in his house. He put him over everything in his house. He said, I trust you. You are basically second in command next to me. I'm higher than you, but everything else, you the man. Put him in charge. And what he began to do was learn. Uh-oh. Come on, this part of the process, part of the preparation. He began to learn how to govern and rule. I'm talking in the midst of his being rejected and kicked out. He's in the test, but he was still trusting God. So you got to still trust God in the midst of the test. And the thing I like about it, even in the midst of the test, God will allow you to find favor with other people. What? I'm going through. I'm feeling like a failure. I'm feeling like a nobody and a has-been. But God, here I am over here in a foreign land, and you are giving me favor. Jesus. But how many of you know, a lot of times, the test you win is going to birth another test. It's going to birth another trial. He was minding his own business, doing what he was supposed to do. And here come old Sugarfoot. She was a woman. Sugarfoot. She wasn't happy with who she had. She wasn't happy with Potiphar. She wanted somebody else. She was a cougar. Oh, y'all got it. She was an old cougar. Because he was young. Joseph was young. And no doubt, he looked good to her eyes. Uh-huh. Some of y'all young folks got cougars looking at y'all. You better run the other way. That cougar and that lion will get you in trouble. That cougar and that lion will get you in trouble. She's smiling in your face and bringing you lunch. You better tell her, no, baby, my wife cooked for me. I must have hit something right there. Because if you ain't careful, she's setting a trap for you. And if you ain't got enough sense to run, you're going to fall in the trap and you're going to be messed up. You ain't going to survive. But Joseph ran. He knew better. See, y'all come back. Now, y'all come back. Y'all went way out there. Come back. Joseph knew whose he was. He knew who he belonged to. And he knew, the Bible doesn't say it, but I choose to believe, Joseph knew he was on assignment. And he had to stay true to who his God was. And he told the woman, look, Potiphar gave me everything in this except for you. I can't touch you. Now, he might have wanted to, but he knew better. You might want to touch some stuff in the midst of your test and trial. You might want to do some things while you're going through. You might want to do some things while you're in a foreign land. But you better hold up and say, wait a minute, that's not God. That's not God mandated. That's going to go against my call. That's going to intrude on what God is doing in my life. I realize there's a process. I realize I'm going to a promise. Not sure what it is, but if I touch that, It's going to mess up my promise. Tell somebody, don't touch it. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. So because he ran, he got put in prison. Now, how you going to get put in prison? You already been rejected. You already in a foreign land. You're trying to do right. And now here you go. You're getting put in prison for something you didn't do. Oh, Jesus. That's that. Well, Lord, I didn't do nothing, so why I got to go through this? And Lord, I was being good, and I was treating everybody right. I paid my tithes, and I paid my offering. Lord, I don't understand. Why is this at my door? Preparation. He's preparing you because he's taking you somewhere. He said, after you suffered, you got to suffer. See, we jump to the establish, strengthen, and settle, but we forget the suffering. After you suffered, you got to suffer. Ooh, let me keep moving. He went down into the prison, and even in the prison, check that. Now, see, when you know the hand of the Lord is upon you, when you get in prison and you find favor with the guards. Because you know in prison, you really are nothing and a nobody. They don't want to have nothing to do with you. They're going to treat you any old kind of way, say anything to you, treat you any kind of way, do whatever. But when Joseph showed up, because the hand of God was on his life, because there was a mandate, because there was an assignment and a mission that he was on, because God was grooming him for a greater destiny, when he got to the prison, even the guards had to take notice and say, ooh, wait a minute. Hey, you're good. Come on, I'm put you in charge of the ward. You watch over the prisoners. How the prisoner gonna watch over the prisoners and be in accountability for the other prisoners? I'm just saying. See, you got to realize while you're going through, don't lose your relationship. God is working something greater in your test. We look at it as if, oh. No, count it all joy that he allowed you to go through this, because there is something greater coming out of this. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. That nighttime is preparing you for the morning. Ooh, Lord, I tell you what, I need to take my shoes off and go to running. No, I got no sense. After a while, Joseph was remembered. After the baker and the cupbearer, after they got out and things happened to them, they didn't tell it. They were supposed to remind the king of who was there. But eventually, it came back that Joseph was there. Nobody could see. Your process and your preparation was preparing you to do something that nobody else could. Nobody else could do it. They're designated to do it. They've been known to do it. People run to them to do it. But when the time came for them to do it, they couldn't do it. Why? Because there was a shifting and a changing of the guards. What are you talking about, evangelist? I hear the Holy Spirit say, there is a shifting and a changing of the guard. And we have got to be ready to step into position, because the person that used to could do it can't do it no more. Why? Because it's your turn. It's your turn. Somebody got it. Somebody got it. It's your turn. See, you got to realize it's coming up your turn, because when Pharaoh had been surrounded by those who were supposed to be able to interpret his dream. Ooh, that was their job. But when the time came to interpret, they was looking dumb, like, wow. I don't know. Like my granddaughter, we ask her something and she be like, like, what that mean? We like, what that mean? I don't know. They didn't know. Why? Because it wasn't their turn. because what God was mandating and his plan was getting ready to be put into action, it was now time to bring Joseph on the scene. I'm here to tell you, don't lose your relationship with God, because God is taking you somewhere. There is something greater that God has in store for us, but we must endure the process. We must endure our time of preparation in order to walk in the promise of God. We've got to endure the process and the preparation. The promise was the provision for the children of Israel. The promise was the dream that God showed him when he was 17 years old. Here he is, I believe, maybe about 30 something. He was somewhere in his 30s. My God, that's a lot of years to have to go through on a dream that you had when you were 17 years old, that you really didn't understand it. It really didn't make sense back then. But you endured abuse. You endured rejection. You endured false accusations, being lied on, being put in prison, and being forgotten about. You endured all of that to get to one moment. One moment to interpret a dream. God. One moment. Song said, one moment with the king. One moment to tell the king what his dream meant. God. Joseph survived all of that for one moment to tell the king what his dream meant. Think about it. What you're going through, it's going to get you one moment to declare the goodness of the Lord, to bring you into your promise. Are you ready? Will your relationship with God survive the test that you're in right now? Will your relationship survive what you're going through now to get you to that one moment? Joseph survived. He maintained. And see, we got to understand, and I'm closing with this. We've got to, because what I want you to understand, that when we survive, when our relationship survives, it's going to bring us to that place of being established, or established. When we survive, we're going to come out being firm, stable. We're going to come out being stronger, being strengthened. We're going to come out, hallelujah, settled. In other words, I'm able to stay in place now. Whereas when I was going in, I was wishy-washy, flip-flopping, and I was double-minded. I didn't know, yeah, I'm serving the Lord today, but I'm not sure about tomorrow. Well, it's good this morning in church, but by 5 o'clock Sunday, I'm trying to find something. And it's a struggle if I'm going to come to church on Friday night or if I'm going to hang out with my friends. But when you come out of the test, now it's like, oh, I ain't got no problem. Nope. It's church. It's Jesus. We going with the Lord. It's the scriptures. It's what does the Bible say? When you survive, see, when you survive and when you come through the test and you come through the trial and you come through the trial that's within the test, when you come through all of that, for the one moment you realize God has done something for you. And see, when Joseph got to the point where he could have flipped the script and went crazy, he stood the test. He stood strong. He wanted to take him out, really. He wanted to take revenge on him. But because he knew that he was part of the process and the preparation to get to the promise, not just for him, but for the children of Israel, he knew that he had to maintain who he was. He knew that his relationship with God had to survive. His relationship with God had to survive. Looking at his captors, looking at his haters, looking at his brothers, and knowing these were the ones he told them, you meant it for evil. You meant to kill me when I was a young boy, but God had a bigger plan. God had a greater plan. You couldn't carry out your plan. Why? Because God's plan supersedes the plan of the enemy. He couldn't kill you because God got a plan. God's plan is greater than the plan of the enemy. Don't allow the enemy to make you abort what God has spoken over your life. Can I say what I just heard? I decree and declare, doors of poetry, where you will go and share what God has put in you to the world. I declare that in your life, and you will not stand in fear, but you will stand in the God confidence, because that is what God spoke over your life long before you ever had the accident. And I call it to come to pass. I call it. Glory. See, we got to survive our relationship. What has God spoken to you? What was the dream that he showed you? What was the dream that he told you? What did you see? What did God say? I'm not talking about the house and the cars. I'm talking about all that. That's a byproduct. That's an add-on. I'm talking about your life. You're living for God. What is it that God spoke to you that he said he was calling you to do? So when you come out, you got to survive. Your relationship has, what do you mean survive? It's got to remain alive and in existence. Anything that survives means it's still, excuse me, in existence. When you come through the test, is your relationship with God still in existence? Is it still alive? Ooh. Mm. Will it continue to live on even after you come through the storm? When Joseph came out, made him governor, he still ruled by the hand of the Lord. He didn't do it according to what he thought. He learned. Remember, he learned in Potiphar's house how to rule. He took that. And when he got into the governor's seat. Now, ain't that something? He was in the house with Potiphar. Potiphar was over him. Joseph went to prison and came out. And now he's been elevated over Potiphar. God will elevate you over your captors. He will elevate you over those that feel like they got the upper hand on you if you endure the process. Don't you do it. Let God do it. I'm going to my seat. So in this, we have to be determined that our relationship, I'm telling you, saints, in this time of quarantine, sheltering in, coming back out into the public, coming back out to all these, you know, opening up again, as they say. You, me, we. Coming back into church, into the building. We have got to be determined that my relationship with God is going to survive. That my faith and my trust in the Lord, it's going to remain alive and stay in existence. I don't care what may come knocking at your door at 12:05. But you got to make sure that your relationship, it survives. In other words, you stay connected to God while you're going through. And check this out. And not only just while you're going through, but even once you come out, you still got to be connected. Your relationship has still got to survive. You might have to pray that prayer, Lord, help my unbelief. Because right now, Lord, I'm having a hard time believing you with all this stuff that's going on, all these things that's happening, and all the reports of the TV and the Facebook and social media, and you know, what my coworkers are saying, and what the conversation is at the banks and at the stores, and the changes I see, even sitting here looking with a mask on. Who would have thought? But you got to make sure that your relationship with God survives. And I asked, I said, God, what are you saying? Because this right here, it makes me a little bit nervous. Why? Because things might get a little bit rougher before they smooth out. Things might get a little bit rougher before they smooth out. This is the new normal. We may never go back to what it was where we could freely worship in church. Because you see, some are struggling with just coming to church. But above all that, where's your relationship with God? You got a mask on it. You got your relationship with God. Stay at home, sheltered in place, and you're not really, you got that on the shelf. You're questioning. Or is it surviving in what you're going through? We can't lose our relationship with the Lord. But this one thing right here, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to ask Bishop if he will pray, that this right here, and I'm closing with this, we have to realize that when we go through, that we are actually being made stronger. We really are being made stronger. Our flesh is feeling it. That's where the fight is. Our flesh is feeling it because flesh is trying to hold on, but it's being weakened. And see, I praise God for having been off work for 2 months, almost month and a half, 2 months almost, because I was able to shut my mind down, but let it come alive in the Lord. And I'll say it because I know you probably struggled with spending time with God. Because, Lord, I got to rest because I got to get up and go to work in the morning. And when I come home, Lord, we got to eat. We got to do this. We got to do that. So, Lord, I really ain't got time to spend time with you because now I got to go back to sleep to get up in the morning to do it all over again. Those of you stay-at-home moms, it's hard because your kids were home and it's like, whoo, you trying to get the kids off to school. You're trying to do this, trying to do that, trying to do this, trying to do that. And we were stuck in the routine. But when the shutdown came, Lord Jesus, I took total advantage of it to spend time with God. And see, during that time, we all should have been spending time with God. Not sitting at home, I'm bored. I'm ready to go this. I'm ready. Where was your relationship with God? Was you shoring up your relationship with God? Or did your relationship with God not even survive the stay-at-home order? That now I can sleep all day, stay up all night, scroll social media all night, watch TV. I can binge watch TV. I can play games. I can play video games. I can do this. I can do that. I can do this. I can do that. I can eat all day. Woo, Jesus. Okay. Won't no fasting going on during quarantine. Well, some of y'all did. Yeah, Bishop. Yeah, he did. For a little while there was. We rolled into it. Yeah, we came into the quarantine from a fast. And we did get one another in there. But what are you saying? That during that time, your flesh, while you're going through, your flesh is being weakened. But we should have took advantage of the moment that God gave us to breathe. But in the process of going through, understand that your spirit is really being strengthened and made stronger. Survive strong, God, you all. Survive strong. Let your relationship survive. And not just survive, but let it thrive. Let it grow. Let it mount up. Those things that you are struggling with, you got to declare, put it away. Get rid of it. It's got to be done. I told you, I came into 2020 knowing, I never said it, when my godmother passed in December, that was devastating to me. And all I could hear was, I got to get myself together. I came into 2020 determined, I got to get myself together. Yeah, with my saved shouting self, I had to get myself together. My relationship had to survive with God. Same with you. Your relationship has got to survive with God. So So come on, as Bishop comes and leads us, however the Lord leads him, your relationship has got to survive with God. Don't allow this pandemic to kill your relationship with God.